Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Refocus, Recharge, Reengage.
So Haggai chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. And when you have the word, say, I have the word. I didn't hear everybody's voice. So once again, when you have the word, say, I have the word. Sound better, sound better. All right. Now in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, we're going to call him Shay, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have so much, and you bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Somebody say, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house was waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon new wine, and unto the oil, and unto that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of his hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shai, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then Haggai spake the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shai, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord, of hosts their God. Okay? In the 24 days of the sixth month of the second year of Darius the king, Haggai in chapter 1 is all about rebuilding the temple. Okay? Haggai was the contemporary of Zechariah, the prophet, Joshua, the high priest, Zerubbabel, the governor, and Cyrus and Darius were the Persian kings. Okay? So Haggai is best known for building the temple at the time when most Israelites were overwhelmed with apathy. Haggai's audience were the people of Jerusalem who had returned from exile. Okay. The temple had been destroyed in 586 BC, And then Cyrus had allowed the children of Israel, the Jews, back into their homeland to rebuild the temple, right? So they had begun the work, but they had been able to complete it. How many of you all have tried and started things? You know, it sounded real good. It felt real good. But something happened. You know, life happened. You had a baby. You had a dog. You got a dog. You got a cat. And all of a sudden, you know, things happened. I couldn't finish. But remembering the bleak city of Jerusalem after many years in Babylon, the Jews undoubtedly focused on their own materials and survival needs, okay? So sometimes when you're broken, you know, things aren't like you want. Sometimes, you know, your natural man wants to naturally focus in on you and get yourself together, right? They want to make sure my house is in order, get, you know, I need to make sure we eating, all that. Through his message, Haggai redirected them to reconsider their priorities and to focus on God's and their spiritual responsibilities, okay? Through Haggai's ministry, the temple was completed in 516 BC, okay? Little introduction. You can talk. It's okay, Dylan. The topic of this morning's message is going to be refocus, recharge, and re-engage. Refocus, recharge, and re-engage. Say it with me. Refocus, recharge, and re-engage. All right now, so the pressures, the demands, the expectations, and the tasks that are pushed on all of us from every side, that assault our daily schedules. Everybody's got something, right? Do this, be there, finish that, call them. Hello. Everyone seems to want something from you. Do you hear me? Okay, my supervisor, my coworkers, my family, my friends, my schoolwork, church, and that's just my stuff, all right? So having children, their school, their tutors, their sports, their practices, their games, their clubs, and all these other extracurricular activities. And the list goes on and on and on and on. So we have little time and energy to give as we run and rush through life, attending to the necessary, the immediate, and sometimes getting to the urgent. The important is often left in the dust. The important is often left in the dust. Our problem is not the volume of our demands or the lack of scheduling skills, because we got everything. We got iPads, we got iPods, we got our phones, we got our watches, we got email, text, we got SM messages, we got, you know, everything under the sun. So that's not the problem. Scheduling's not the problem. But values. What is truly important to us? Our values and priorities are reflected in how we use our resources, our time, our money, our strengths, and our talents. Often our actions contradict our words. And we say that God is number one, but then we downgrade him to a lesser number when something comes up on our to-do list. This morning, I have come to remind you all that regardless of life's twists and turns, life's ups and downs, its highs and lows, and trust me, there will be some of all of that, you still have a temple to build. You still have a temple to build. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, said, "What know ye, that your body is the temple of the Most High God, and the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own." You're not your own. So what are we doing to make sure that our temples are ready for God's use? What are we doing? What are we feeding it? What are we allowing into its gates? Every day we're bombarded on social media, at work, at school. So I teach elementary school now, praise the Lord, in Baltimore City. So even from an adult perspective, the things that these children are bombarded with on a daily basis, Lord have mercy. Gotta keep them covered. And to think that most of the kids that I'm working with are allowed to do things that I would absolutely never allow my child to do, to say, yes, you. I would never allow them to do or say some of the things that these children are exposed to. They know so much, so far beyond their time. So what are we doing to make sure, not only that regarding our temples, but the temples of these little ones that we have charge over? Whether you're a parent or not, you're a part of a local ecclesia where we're a family. We're a family. So if anybody sees Aaliyah doing something, correct her. It takes a village, absolutely. And I tell my children at school, I tell my parents from 7:45 to 2:40, they're mine. So unless you come in here to help, you accepting what I'm giving. And I'm not giving nothing crazy. I'm giving them love. They're finding peace in my classroom. They're getting encouraged in my classroom. They're getting built up in my classroom. One day in class, earlier in the year, it was just mayhem. So the kids, it had been a bunch of fights, and they were just acting crazy, y'all. I'm talking crazy. Now, when it get crazy over at Gilmer Elementary School, it get crazy, okay? So I just was fed up. So I had a conversation with them about just being kind to one another, how to compliment. So we started talking, and I started talking to them about just being kind to one another. Say something nice to somebody. They looked at me like I was stupid. Like I done told them to build the ark and bring the animals, okay? They was like, kind. Miss Wright, what you talking about? Miss Wright always playing. No, I ain't playing with y'all. Say something kind to somebody. So I get my mama voice, and then they know I'm serious. So I sat in this circle, and I exemplified to them what they should do. Kids were begging me to say things to them because they're not used to hearing stuff like this about themselves. It broke my heart. I was in class. She crying. Yes, I am. Because y'all don't realize. Y'all don't get it. This is the type of things that should be said about you all the time. And this is the stuff that you should know about yourselves. So to sit there and say that someone was beautiful and that you have a wonderful plan before you. You're going to be a great writer. You're going to be a great orator. To say things like that to them and they not know it. They didn't know what happened to them. But they sat there and they begged me. Like we had to go to, we had to break. But they were like, no, Miss Wright, I'm next, Miss Wright. Miss Wright, I'm next. And it broke my heart. Because they're not getting what they need. But that's why God has this temple in that place. Because I'm there to give them what they need. Amen. I'm there to give them what they need. Jesus. It's okay. Okay. Now, we're constantly saying, that we're temples ready for God's use, right? We're temples ready for God's use. But we're allowing anything and everything into our gates. How we take care of ourselves, what we're feeding ourselves, what we're doing outside of church. I think even as a child, like, we weren't really, now we played outside in the 80s. We played outside in the 80s. We played outside in the 80s. But the focus on our physical health wasn't necessarily the case because we played outside, right? But now we, in the 2018s, and we have people who are riddled with illnesses and all kinds of things that are preventable. Preventable diseases. Diagnoses of diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol. All things that we necessarily, most times, have the ability to control to some extent. So we ask God and we say, good old faithful song, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me, right? Y'all might not sound like that, but you say it, but you say it. You say it in your heart, you say it in your mind. Tanya says she sounds like that, right? We say it all the time. But are we really, really ready for God to use us? Are we really ready for God to use us? Every day we should be conditioning our minds and our bodies for the purposes of the kingdom. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? So, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So not only are we not presenting our bodies, but most parts of our bodies need to be sacrificed. We got some extras. We got some tag-alongs. I'm with you. Listen, I started my exercise journey. I have a workout partner. I'm being held accountable. I went to the doctors, and in one visit, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. And I said, not so. I won't. My mother died from heart disease. My grandmother died from a stroke, which was a heart condition that spilled over into just so many other conditions. So that is something that has been a part of my lineage for a time. And I will not allow that to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. Amen? Are you delivering on your reasonable service? Are you delivering on your reasonable service? In our text, there are four things that Haggai is saying to us. There are four things that Haggai is saying to us. So if you're going to be a temple ready for kingdom use, you must refocus, recharge, and reengage. Point number one is found in verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, and it says, we cannot allow others to distract and dictate our God decisions. We cannot allow others to distract and dictate our God decisions. Everybody say refocus. Say refocus. Oftentimes, we consider people and entertain people and their opinions when they have no knowledge or merit of who we are. They don't know anything about us. So we take into consideration their opinions, our friends, our coworkers, right? And sometimes even people on the street, we ask opinions about stuff. They don't even know us. We're looking on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on IG, that's Instagram, on Snapchat, oh my gosh, the filters, the kingdom of filters, okay? And we're looking at those and we're comparing ourselves, our bodies, what we have, what we don't have, what we should have had, why we're not, why they are. Come on, y'all. We can do better than that. God's called us to so much greater. He's called us to so much greater. Proverbs 4 and 25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. We should not be looking to the world for confirmation for the kingdom. We should not look to the world for confirmation for the kingdom. Because we're kingdom citizens, right? So why does it matter that she has this, or he has those, or they have all of that? You know how quickly I can post a picture and Photoshop it to make me look a certain way and make me have certain things, and you would never know the difference? That's technology, y'all. And we get depressed, we get sad, we think about this stuff all day long, about all these things that these people have that we feel we should have, but they don't even have it. Come on. Come on. We want to be accepted, we want to be liked, loved, we want to be shared, we want to be retweeted. For me, I had to get off social media because it was a distraction. It was a distraction. Now, I wasn't posting nothing, so why would I even go on there? I'm on there being nosy, looking to see what, oh, they got that this week. Oh, my gosh, that is so pretty. Dang, I want a dog like that. I don't need no more dogs. Wow, she lost 50 pounds in, 4 months? I've been working out for 6 years. I lost 10 pounds. Come on, God. Now you jealous because people on there looking better. But it wasn't healthy. It's not healthy. I'm comparing myself. I'm downing myself. Like, dang, you are kind of, you're not that pretty. Dang, she is beautiful. But you don't know what she did to make herself look beautiful. You don't know what she had to go through to lose that weight. You don't know what she did to get that house. Okay? So just stop. Just stop. The kingdom cannot be compared to the world. The kingdom cannot be compared to the world. So stop trying to compare yourselves to figments of other people's imaginations. Because typically on social media, people put their best self out. So they talk about all the trips they've gone on. They talk about all the things that they've done. They talk about all the, let's say, hair they did. They post all these pictures. Got two clients. Same hair. She did flip hairstyles. Come on. Come on. I know her face from somewhere. Yeah, because she was 6 pictures before. Come on, y'all. We're comparing ourselves. We're talking apples and oranges. The kingdom is not to be compared. Turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdom is not to be compared. The kingdom is superior to the world. Everybody understands that, right? It's superior. So stop comparing yourself to an inferior world. To an inferior world. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's pointless. It's pointless. Point number 2. Oh, let me give you a couple of other scriptures. Because I don't know if they put those up. Some other scriptures to support. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Romans 8, verse 5. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15, Philippians 4 and 8, Matthew 24, 6 and 24, excuse me. Matthew 6 and 24. Point number two can be found in verses 3 through 6. Point number two can be found in verses 3 through 6. And point number two says, always look for the word of the Lord to direct. For direction, excuse me. Always look to the word of the Lord for direction. Only what you do for his kingdom will last. Only what you'll do for his kingdom will last. Only what we do for his kingdom will last. Everybody say recharge. Recharge. Say recharge. Recharge. So what we do for his kingdom will last. Our thoughts have to be conditioned to his. Our thoughts have to be conditioned to his. Our thoughts have to be conditioned to his. Not only our thoughts about ourselves, but our thoughts about our outcome. Because God said that he has an expected end for us. But so often we just expect the end. When he has an expected end, we just expect the end. So we get defeated when one thing blows up in our face. We get downtrodden and we have the woe is me syndrome. And we start having pity parties and closing up shop and, you know, it's over. Over one situation? Over one situation. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it about you, it's going to come to pass. So don't allow one door being shut in your face to stop you from pressing and pushing toward the mark of his promise. Don't allow it to stop you. So often we get discouraged by a no or a door close. We get discouraged. But we have to have the faith to believe that God is faithful. He is faithful. And if you are, and you consider yourself to be a child of God, he has your back 100%.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.